से वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय त्वं अव्यक्त गतिर् भुङ्क्ष्वा लोकं कर्म विनिर्मितं या हि मे प्रतना युक्ता प्रजा नाशं प्राणेशसि त्वं अव्यक्ता गति पुंस्वा लोकं कर्म विनिर्णीतं या हि मे प्रततां युक्ता भाजनाशं प्राणेशसि त्वं अव्यक्ता गति पुंस्वा लोकं कर्म विनिर्मितं या हि मे प्रतनाच्युक्ता रचनाशं प्रणश्यसि त्वामव्यक्ता गतिर्पुङ्क्ष्वा लोकं कर्म विनिर्मितं या हि मे प्रतनाच्युक्ता वचनाशं प्रणश्यसि
Gati, whose movement is imperceptible, Bhunkshva, enjoy it. Lokam, this world, Karma Vinirmitam, manufactured by fruitive activities. Ya, one who, he, certainly, me, my, Pritana, soldiers, jukta, helped by prajanasham, annihilation of the living entities, pranishasi, you shall carry out without any hindrance. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhaicharya Nalavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. This world is a product of fruitive activities.
Therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Helped by my soldiers, you can kill them without opposition. Please repeat.
This world
is a product
of
fruitive activities.
And therefore,
you may imperceptibly attack the people in general. Helped by my soldiers, you can kill them without opposition. Purple. The word karma vinirmitam means manufactured by fruitive activities. The entire material world, especially in these days, is the result of fruitive activities. Everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, businesses, etc. All this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification and who are ignorant of spiritual identity. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4, Nunam Pramata Puruti Vikarma Yadindriya Pritha Pnoti Na Sadhu Manye Yata Atmano Yam Asham Api Kleshada Asha Deha. Those without knowledge of the spirit soul are mad after materialistic activities, and they perform all kinds of simple activities simply for sense gratification. According to Rishabhadev, such activities are inauspicious because they force one to accept an abominable body in the next life. Everyone can experience that although we try to keep the body in a comfortable position, it will always give pain and is subject to the threefold miseries. Otherwise, why are there so many hospitals, welfare boards, and insurance establishments? Actually, in this world, there is no happiness. People are simply engaged in trying to counteract unhappiness. Foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness. Therefore, the king of the Yavanas decided to attack such foolish people imperceptibly by old age, disease, and ultimately death. Of course, after death, there must be birth. Therefore, Yavanaraj thought it wise to kill all the karmis through the agency of Kalikana, and thus try to make them aware that materialistic advancement is not actually advancement. Every living entity is a spiritual being, and consequently, without spiritual advancement, the human form of life is ruined. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garaka Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada is pointing out here that the people are simply engaged in this world trying to counteract unhappiness. That's the main feature of the material world. Everybody wants sense gratification. There's so many impediments to get sense gratification. So everything is engaged in trying to counteract the unhappiness. It's miserable. It's hard work to wash my clothes, so therefore invent a washing machine to counteract the unhappiness. So that's the so-called advancement. So many machines, Prabhupada said. Even the machine for shaving the face. Prabhupada was surprised when he went to America. They have machines even for shaving the face. So save a little bit of time, to save a little of energy than the machine. But what goes into producing a machine, then you got the whole upra karma factory, etc. And so many people are suffering in these conditions working to produce whatever it is, nuts and bolts, to get rid of unhappiness. But it's a miserable, they're in a miserable situation trying to produce something to get rid of a miserable situation. Yeah, this is a foolishness. So here, the Yavana king, Yavana Raj, now he's killing people imperceptibly. They're not noticing how time is passing day by day and how old age is creeping up day by day and how the diseases are coming also. So in this way, Kali Raj is killing all the people imperceptibly. And he's 100% success. He's 100% success story because everybody dies. Nobody is aloof. Of course, the devotees, they have a special destination. But here Prabhupada said he's supposed to be for the karmis. Imperceptibly he will get them. So it creeps up on everyone. There's nothing you can do. No, you're trying to counteract the unhappiness, but it doesn't work. You can postpone it for a little while, but ultimately it doesn't work. Everything collapses. No matter. Just like our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was an emblem of power and strength and energy and activity. He was invincible, practically, for all purposes, he was invincible. But from inside, he just crumbled away. Everything started to crumble with inside. So even you're very, very powerful, physically, something inside, and you can, nothing outside can attack you but inside. Of course, the devotees always give lessons. It's always a lesson that the devotees give when they leave their bodies. So it's not although devotees don't die and don't leave their bodies, but they understand this is the last set of sufferings for the devotees. So therefore they can be callous to the ups and downs of the material world. They have a higher purpose in life, and that is the mission of Krishna consciousness. So that becomes their main activity, their main intention. How to satisfy the desire for Chaitanya, expanding his Sankirtan mission all over the world. Somehow or another, I'm doing some activities to expand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotees have this consciousness, they're identifying themselves as the dasa das, dasa anudas, servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, and not as the enjoyers and controllers of the world. So therefore they can become callous to the ups and downs. The material world and its ups and downs, even birth and death, is not a big thing for them. It's not the main thing, but for everyone else it is the main thing. They've got to get their sense gratification. And they've got to get old and die also, though they don't want to. And that's the main thing. The main thing was this body, whole life, and now it's falling apart. The senses are not functioning, the body's breaking down, everything. There's nothing I can do about it. And this was my main focus from since I can remember, this body, and now it's... But for the devotees, it's not the main focus. The main focus is his service. How he can expand, how he can please the Guru and Mahaprabhu by helping in the mission. So that becomes his main focus. Therefore, he can become callous to the body and the miseries of the body. The karmis cannot do that. They have no alternative. So there's strong identification with the body. So here, King Puranjana, he's just got to go through it. There's nothing else he can do. He's forced to go through this miserable suffering, growing old, becoming diseased, and dying. And he's a king, remember. You know, he's got a kingdom and he's got servants. King means enjoyer. You take a birth of a king, it means you've got a lot of karma for enjoying. So he's got an expanded kingdom. We've got a little kingdom. We have our own little kingdoms, but we're not real kings. So you can imagine the attachments the king has. He has many more and more attachments, which means many more sufferings, many more lamentations. He's leaving many of his subjects. And his kingdom is attached to his kingdom. And unfortunately, he can't remain in that kingdom. And so he has to leave. And generally, they're quite miserable situation. They leave him in the body. There is, Hari Sori Prabhu was telling that there is some medical research with people who around people when they're leaving their bodies, when they're dying. And they say when they've got notice to die, they notice four things become prominent, which they call dabba, D-A-B-A. First is denial. The doctor says, I'm sorry, you've been analyzed with your cancer or something, you've got 2-6 months, whatever it is. First reaction is denial. No, no. Why me? I don't want to die. And the next reaction is denial, then alternative. There must be some alternative. Let me try chemotherapy. Let me try some naturopath. There are some tricks who can do it. There is reverse, what's it called? Osmosis or something like that. Some alternative, maybe I can get rid of it, I can. And B, bargain. Then they start to bargain with God or whoever. Prabhupada always gives that example of the man, I think he knew him personally in Calcutta, and the doctor said, you know, you haven't got lost. And he said, doctor, please, I need 2 more years to complete my plans and program. Just please extend me for 2 more years, my life is in me. Prabhupada said, no. Even he wanted. So you may try to make a bargain with, okay, but give me just 2 more years. And then finally, the A is acceptance. Then they come to, I have got to accept it. You know, like everybody else is dying around me, and I'm not going to be exclusive. So they accept it, and the thing is, they die more peaceably. Most of them don't make it to that acceptance. They're still trying to hold on, so they die miserably, like cats and dogs. Those who accept it, they die more peaceably. But still, what's their destination? Who knows? And another activity. So we can also see this in devotees sometimes. Because the surrendering process means materially dying. You have to, when you surrender to Krishna, it means you're materially you're dying. You're not holding it. You're giving up all that material identification. So it's like a death. You don't have to wait for old age. But as a person advances in spiritual life and he understands actually there is no alternative, I have to surrender to Krishna. There is no alternative. Either I bow down my head now or at the time of death, Krishna says, you will be forced to bow down your head. But the devotee knows even that death is under Krishna's control. So he sees death as also as Krishna. So it's not so fearful for a devotee. But when he becomes serious, any spiritual life. This is ultimately, this is what we've got to do. We've just got to completely surrender to Krishna. Then he may get some reaction. He feels some opposition, some resist. Some resistance will be there because of our conditioning nature. I knew one devotee who was, the doctor said you got leukemia. He went to the doctor said you got leukemia, there's no cure for this. And the devotee said, I don't accept that. The doctor said, listen, I'm a doctor, I've made an analysis, you've got leukemia. He said, I don't accept you. The doctor was getting really angry with him. He said, I'm sorry, I just don't accept you. Anyway, later on he did a milk fast for years and years, but he got rid of it. There was another young girl, she has cancer, I think. So she went to see Prabhupada with her mother. I think she's about 15 years old or something like that. Went to see Prabhupada and then she just broke down crying and sobbing, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. Prabhupada was very, very firm with that girl. He didn't cater for her sentiment of not wanting to die. And Prabhupada said, one who is born, death is certain. It's no question of not dying, he said. And she was going, no, really breaking out. I don't want to die, I don't want to die. And Prabhupada said, there's no question of not dying. He said, it's simply a question of first or second. Who is first or who is second, that's all. But there is no question of not dying. Prabhupada was very strong with that. So there may be this resistance may be there. in the beginning. And then maybe then you find some alternative. Must be some alternative, some where I can bargain with Krishna. I can surrender some things. Maybe not everything, Krishna, but some things I can surrender. I can surrender my sadhana to you. I can surrender my morning bath, my japa, my prayers, my deity service. All of my sadhana that I can surrender unto you, Krishna. But don't take away my independence. What about my? No, don't take away my independence. It's all I've got. So we can. Like bargain for Krishna. Because when you become serious about surrendering Krishna, it's the fierce attack on the false ego. The false ego doesn't like it, it's going to resist. Complete surrender. So, you may go through these stages. So, surrendering my independence and surrendering my choice. Krishna wants me to do so many things, but what about me? My whole life I've made all the decisions, I've made all the choices for my happiness. It's me, it's my life. I've made all the decisions in my life for my happiness. I've got to give up my freedom of choice. Krishna, you're right. My independence, my freedom of choice. No. But Krishna is demanding, no, you've got to give up everything. So we're having a battle now. Can I give up everything to Krishna? I've got to give up my freedom, my independence. Bargain. Let me keep something. One girlfriend. Just one girlfriend, Krishna. No, not even one girlfriend. You give it all up. If you don't give everything to me, your love will be incomplete. And I want everything. I want all of your love. And what will I give you if you give me all of your love? I will give my very self to you and no one else. It's a pretty good bargain. We want a bargain with Krishna. Actually, the best bargain you have. I'll give everything to you, Krishna, because you're going to give me much, much more than I can ever hope to get myself, any kind of happiness. So this is the devotees. This is the they have these understandings. Kaliya or Pranjana Maharaj, he doesn't have this understanding. He's got to go through the horrible situation of birth and death. sometimes also we see that devotees, you know, senior devotees, suddenly they leave for some reason, sense gratification, something. But it may be like this. It may be an indication that they're on the verge of complete surrender to Krishna. They may be very advanced. Want to completely surrender, and then Maya gives the next special attack. We've seen it. Devotees sometimes they fall, but they come back usually. So it could be taken as a symptom of their advancement. They're right on the verge of surrender, complete surrender. So Maya speeds up or hots up the. See how sincere, how serious. So, this is actually our business in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. We have to give this message to everyone so they can be saved from this horrible situation. Because the devotees, they know this science, they know the secret. Back to Godhead. This is the last birth for the devotees. It solves all the problems. Unlimited problems in this material world. Unlimited solutions trying to solve them. But there's only one solution. You don't take another body. You don't have a body, you won't have a problem. Problem is due to this body. So you take a spiritual body, you go back home, back to Godhead. This is the only solution for the problem. Otherwise, there is no solution. You can go to Devaloka, you can go to Brahmaloka. Still got the problem of birth and death there. So the devotees know this secret. They're going back to Godhead. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Jivadaya, he come to deliver all the living entities by giving this message of Krishna consciousness. How they can go back home, back to God, back to Godhead. Because the devotees don't have a problem. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are problems, birth, old age, disease and death. The devotees don't have that problem. It's not that they're not going to grow old and die, but they realize this is the last set of problems. And going back to God, this is the last. So it doesn't really affect them. So they don't have a problem. Your problem's been finished. Your problem of birth and death has been finished once you take seriously the Krishna consciousness. So you don't have a problem anymore. You don't have to worry about it. So what is our worry? I heard Jayapadaka Praj giving a class one time. He said, but Lord Chaitanya has a problem. He said, Lord Chaitanya's problem, he came to give the holy name to everyone, but they're not taking. And he said, I'm only one man. How can I distribute? And he orders in Chaitanya, I order everyone in the universe to spread Krishna consciousness.
give everyone the holy name.
So he said, what can I do? I'm one man, I'm one gardener. He had a problem. So Jayapadagman said, he has a problem. He cannot distribute it, one man alone. So he said, then our problem, we don't have a problem. Krishna's promise. The birth that is finished for devotees. We don't have a problem for ourselves. Our problem is Lord Chaitanya's problem. We will take on Lord Chaitanya's problem. He has a problem. Okay, let's assist Lord Chaitanya. Let's relieve his problem. He wants the holy name spread in every town of Vrindavan. That becomes our problem. Otherwise, we don't have a problem because we're going back to Godhead. So this is our problem. How to help Lord Chaitanya's problem in getting Krishna consciousness to every town and village of the world. So this is our business. And although it's difficult in the material world, Kamal Krishna Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I thought you said Krishna consciousness was simple. And Prabhupada said, I said it was simple, but I didn't say it was easy. It's not easy. Prabhupada said it's not easy to start a spiritual movement in the material world. So, the solution is given by Lord Chaitanya, or the example is given by Lord Chaitanya and his followers, Srila Prabhupada especially, that in this world, although it's difficult, they're living in this world for others. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually came for his own selfish motivation also. That was to relish his devotees' experience. So that was a selfish motivation. But his other motivation was simultaneously to, because it was time for the Yuga Dharma also. So he came to relish, that was his own selfish motivation, and simultaneously to give Krishna consciousness to everyone else. So of course, we can't really help Lord Chaitanya in his innermost desire. To assist Lord Chaitanya, he's in the most desire. How we can approach him? He's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. How we can approach to help him? Difficult. Even Ramananda Roy, at the end of his life, found it difficult too. But we can help him and please him by spreading the Sankirtan missionary. That was his secondary desire. So that we can do, and that we can please Lord Chaitanya easily by that. To please Lord Chaitanya in his inner desire is very, very difficult. Practically impossible for us in this state. But to please Lord Chaitanya in his external desire in the spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness all over the world, that we can do quite easily. And that will easily attract the attention and blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna. So this is how we actually serve. We can serve Radha and Krishna directly. Otherwise, very difficult to approach. And we serve Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Das. We are the servant. He is the Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, and we are Das. This is the relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The relationship with Radha and Krishna is going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gopi Pariyo Kamala Das. We are servant of Radha, but in a conjugal relationship. We cannot approach Radha and Krishna with a reverential attitude. But Lord Chaitanya we can. He is Prabhu, he is the master. And what to speak of spontaneous love, we've forgotten that. So Radha and Krishna are practically unobtainable. But in the form of Lord Chaitanya, they're very much obtainable. In fact, they're begging, please help me. They want service. They want our service. So then it becomes very practical. So then the idea is that we start to live for others, for the benefit of others. This is the secret. Otherwise, it's difficult to live in the world. You're trying to perfect yourself. You're trying to purification. You're trying It's difficult. But if you do it for others, to purify others, give others a chance, then it becomes a lot easier. We was listening to a tape by Gopi Pranadana yesterday with his Tirubhav Pithi, and he said something really nice. I thought it was really nice about how Prabhupada was actually demanding complete surrender from everyone, which no other guru would dare to say. No other guru has practically they lose all their customers, all of their disciples. But Prabhupada was emphasizing it's a complete surrender. I mean, nothing less than complete surrender. And although it was difficult for us, we tried to do it as best we can. We wanted to please Prabhupada. Because we knew that Prabhupada, why did Prabhupada demand that complete surrender? Because he was interested in our best welfare. And that is our only best welfare, is that complete surrender to Krishna. That's why we love Prabhupada. That's why we try to follow him. Otherwise it'd be very difficult. Controlling senses can become purified and do all these things in the material world. For myself, difficult. But we did it for Prabhupada. Why? Because he, out of his love, he did it for us. He did it for our benefit. He wanted to give us the topmost thing. He didn't want to compromise. And because of that compassion and love of Prabhupada there, we eagerly did it. We eagerly surrendered as much as we could. So for ourselves, it's difficult, Krishna Khan. But if we do for others, it becomes a lot easier. So this is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was asked to speak on the Shikshastikam. At least we can read from it. Because this is all that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for us. The only thing he compiled that was saved was his Shikshastikam prayers. Lord Chaitanya wrote a commentary on, he wrote a commentary on some Vedic system. I'm not sure if it was Naya or something like that, because he was studying like logic. And he was going across the Ganga to school with one of his school friends. I can't remember his name. Who was also a great student. And he had written a book also on the same subject. And he was very happy. He did a nice book. It was a very good book. So they were crossing the Ganga on the boat. And Lord Chaitanya said, look, I've written a book also. So he started to read Lord Chaitanya's book, the same subject matter as his book. And when he saw it, Lord Chaitanya's book, he thought, mine is like a newspaper, yesterday's newspaper. And he was really disappointed. You know, he was really enthusiastic about his book. And Mahaprabhu saw his detection. And Mahaprabhu took that book and he threw his own book in the Ganga. So this is the love that Mahaprabhu had for us. He wasn't living live for others. Then you can do something like that. So the Shikshastikam. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus for the good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. Practically everything is here. If Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu movement begins with this point. Chaitodarpana Marjanam. Clean the heart. It begins at that point. Bhagavad Gita. It brings you to that point, clean the heart. Then you can go to Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya's mission begins at this point. First clean the heart. By the chanting, it will happen. So here it's saying everything will come. It stops the miseries of this material. The holy name stops the miseries. It brings knowledge, transcendental knowledge, all education. It gives bliss. Prabhupada gives a nice explanation of his sound vibration, the chanting of Hare Krishna in the... where is that? Third canto. The fundamental principles of material nature. It's talking about the creation of the universe and how sound is actually the first material, the gross or subtle energy of the material universe. Everything expands from the sound. The sound is actually an expansion of false ego and ignorance. Then sound is produced. Then from sound, the ether, then the mixture of those produces the air, then the mixture of, and the touch sensation. Then there's a whole breakdown, right, to water, to earth, to gross earth. But Prabhupada says in that purport, everything is created by sound. The sound vibration is the subtle form of everything. The whole material universe is manifested. All these forms that we need, all these facilities in this material world, their subtle form is sound. It's all coming from sound. So he said, now that same sound vibration, when it's purified by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, will create all of your spiritual necessities. Whatever you need spiritually will be created by that sound vibration of the holy name, without extra endeavor. Here, the holy name. It's going to cleanse the heart. The holy name will do that. Without extra endeavor, not I have to. We try, but the the holy name will cleanse. And whatever good qualities we need, everybody, we're always talking about humility and tolerance and mercy and compassion and all these good qualities. The holy name will create all those we need. We need these in our spiritual life. The holy name will create those. It'll create everything. It'll create the whole spiritual environment in the heart of the devotee. In other words, your heart will become the kingdom of God by that pure sound vibration. So the holy name will do everything. Just as a material sound vibration has created all the necessities of the material world, that same sound vibration, when purified, will create all these spiritual necessities that we need, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. What we need, what kinds of service we need right now, the holy name can produce it right now. And when we need something in the future, the holy name will produce that. The result of chanting is that it awakens, or one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service, as if immersed in a great ocean of love. Lamentation, humility awoke within the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna, Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all of your potencies in those holy names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. O my Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls, by liberally teaching your holy name, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses by chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting the holy name. Dear Lord Chaitanya is acting as an ordinary person, expressing the mood of an ordinary person. How we don't have, I don't have attraction for chanting the holy name. It means we have to do more chanting, more purification. Because the attraction for the holy name will also be produced by the holy name. It will create attraction. It will create everything we want. You have many names such as Krishna and Govinda. These are the primary names of Krishna. I was thinking, how is it this holy name is chanted in every town and village of the world? How are you going to get through all the Christian countries, or the Muslim countries, the Buddhist countries? They don't have God anyway. But anyway, the other who have set religions. And I was thinking, perhaps, just speculating, but perhaps they will chant the name of their God in Kirtan, like Allah Kirtan. They can all come and chant the name of God. It's a bona fide name of God. Other Christians, they can chant Yahuwah, whatever name of God they have, congregational chanting. I thought that way it could be achieved quite easily, actually, because already they're Christians. We're not going to change the name of their God or anything like that. So just get them to come together. And this is how it works. But then it's not exactly like that. They do chant Hare Krishna. They all chant Hare Krishna as the prediction. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I am coming in this incarnation. He said, I was feeling such a long time I didn't give my pure mercy to my devotees. Rajabhakti. my pure Rajabhakti. I didn't give it for a long time. I should come and be merciful and give them. It's just time for the incarnation. So he said, I will descend with all of my incarnations and all of my weapons and devotees. And we'll give everybody, all the different sampradayas, Muslim sampradaya, the Christian sampradaya, all the sampradayas will come under the banner of Sankirtan. And I'll give them all the opportunity to taste Brajabhakti. Now this Brajabhakti, you don't get it with the secondary names of God. You only get it with the names, the primary names of God, like Krishna, Govinda, etc. But other names of God, Yahweh, Allah means the Great One, Paramatma, Bhagavan, you don't get Rajaparam Bhakti with that. Our Lord Chaitanya's Bhagavan, no, that's why I'm coming. I'm feeling I haven't given them for a long time. My other incarnations, I just give I give love to God there. But here I'm giving Brajabhakti. This is my special concession. And I'm going to make everybody, all the avatars and all that, some drunk with the nectar. So it is actually Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That does go in every town and village of the world. So I was happy to read that. Cleared my speculation. Lamentation and humility awoke within Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he began reciting none of his own verses. You have invested all of your full potencies in each of your holy names, but I am so unfortunate I have no attachment to chanting the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Sri Damodar, Goswami and Ramananda Rai, hear for me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. And then he said, Trinadapti Sanichita Tarahiva Sahishnana Amanina Madanina Kitaniya Shada Hari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than the tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give honor and respect to others, can very easily, always, chant the holy names of the Lord. We have to wear this as a garland around our neck, Krishnadas Kaviraj said. Remember this verse, it's to wear it as a garland. Knowledge begins with humility. So if you're not humble, you won't get any understanding of it. When Krishna lists the 20 items of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, he begins with humility. Because if you're not humble in the beginning, the other knowledge will not register. If you go to a teacher and you're not humble, you will not be able to imbibe his teachings fully. There are symptoms of one who chants Hare Krishna mantra. Although he's very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground and like a tree. He tolerates everything in two ways. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask for water. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates the scorching heats and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. If one chants the holy name of Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way, all humility increased. He began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. Whenever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, its natural symptom is that a devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruitive activities described in the flowery language. All I want is life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. In great humility, considering himself a conditioned soul in the material world, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again expressed his desire to be endowed with service to the Lord. So here Mahaprabhu was acting as an ordinary person and feeling such humility. Bhavananda Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada, how can Lord Chaitanya quote this or say this verse that I am lower than the straw in the street, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And Prabhupada said Lord Chaitanya could say that he was lower than a straw in the street because he understood that he was 1/10,000 size the tip of a hair, which he's not. Also, we are the 1/10,000 size of the tip of the head. We're the parts. But he is the supreme whole. He's not 1/10,000 size of the tip. But Prabhupada said, because he was playing as a devotee, whatever he does in perfection. And he was playing as the bhakta avatar, the devotee. And he was playing in perfection. And therefore, he was really realizing that I am lower than the straw in the street. And factually, that is our position. A straw in the street is millions and millions of times bigger than 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair jiva, practically speaking. So, therefore, now he, Lord Chaitanya, thinking that, then he can pray with feeling. O son of Nandarad Maharaj, Nanda, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into the horrible ocean of nescience. Now please be causelessly merciful to me and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. There was a nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in the fourth canto, chapter 20, text 25. My dear Lord, you are glorified by selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of saffron dust from your lotus feet, the living entities, forgetful living entities, gradually remember this eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. You're talking, pick me up and place me at the dust, an atom of dust at your lotus feet. So in the purport here of this verse, talking about the saffron particles, Prabhupada said, because the devotees, they're always associating with Krishna, and Krishna has saffron particles, the dust like from the pollen of lotus, stuck to his feet. So because they're always associating with Krishna's lotus feet, they pick up that pollen. And when they chant the name of Krishna, the pollen, some pollen is stuck on that, because Krishna and his name are non-different. So the pollen is also stuck on the sound vibration of Krishna. When that enters into the ears of the living entities, immediately it reminds them of their eternal relationship. It immediately wakes them up by hearing this sound vibration from purity, because it's got these particles of dust from Krishna's feet. This is what actually awakens the soul to his eternal relationship with Krishna. Yeah, that was very nice. And Prabhupada said in the purport, as soon as the sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord. Although, up until that moment, he had forgotten everything. So in a moment. Fact. Practical for many people in Krishna consciousness. You heard that name from a vibration and you awaken from from your material identity to your real identity. Very, very fast, Krishna consciousness. Being causelessly merciful to me, be causelessly merciful to me, and give me a place with a particle of dust on your lotus feet, so that I may engage in service of your Lordship as your eternal servant. Natural humility, eagerness, then awoke in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he prayed to Krishna to be able to chant the Maha Mantra in ecstatic love. O my Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all of the hairs of my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Without love of Godhead, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. Separation from Krishna woke various mellows of distress, lamentation, and humility. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a crazy man. My Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I can sit in every moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world as void. In my agitation, the day never ends, and every moment seems like a millennium. Pouring incessant tears, my eyes are like clouds in the rainy season. The three worlds have become void because of separation from Govinda. I feel as if I were burning alive in a slow fire. In Prabhupada's translation, at least the early translation, Prabhupada would say, I'm feeling separation. It's like feeling Malu, I'm feeling your separation. Feels like 12 years or more. Yeah? Prabhupada used to say that. It's feeling like 12 years or more. Here it says millennium. 12, Prabhupada explained that 12 years is means like a yuga. Yukmanitam, the verse here is in Sikshastri. Like a yuga, I'm feeling, it's like a yuga, moment separation. Prabhupada said it's 12 years is a mini yuga. So we have a mini yuga, so Lord Chaitanya. So he translated 12, like 12 years or more as a mini yuga. In the same spirit of ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited that verse, and as soon as he did so, he felt like Srimati Radharani. That Krishna tightly embraced this maidservant who was falling at his lotus feet. Oh, let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a devotee after all, and he can do whatever he likes. But still, he is none other than the worshipful Lord of my heart. I am the maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna, and he is the embodiment of all transcendental happiness and malas. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him. Or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. My dear friend, just hear my decision, the decision of my mind. Krishna is the Lord of my life in all conditions. Whether he shows me affection or kills me by giving me unhappiness. Sometimes Krishna gives up the company of other gopis and becomes controlled, mind and body, by me. Thus he manifests my good fortune and he gives others distress by performing his loving affairs with me. Or, since after all he is very cunning, obstinate, debauchee, with a propensity to cheat, he takes to the company of other women. He then indulges in loving affairs with them in front of me to give distress to my mind. Nevertheless, he is still the Lord of my life. I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna. For his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. If Krishna, attracted by the beauty of some other woman, wants to enjoy with her, but is unhappy because he cannot get her, I fall down at her feet, I catch her hand, and I bring her to Krishna to engage her for his happiness. If a gopi, envious of me, satisfies Krishna and Krishna desires her, I shall not hesitate to go to her house and become her maidservant. For then my happiness will become awakened. Krishna is my life and soul. Krishna is the treasure of my life. Indeed, Krishna is the very life of my life. I therefore keep him always in my heart and try to please him by rendering service. That is my constant meditation. My happiness is in the service to Krishna, and Krishna's happiness is in union with me. For this reason, I give my body in charity to the lotus feet of Krishna, who accepts me as his beloved one and calls me his most beloved. It is then that I consider myself his maidservant. Overwhelmed by ecstatic love, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman and recited suitable verses again and again. So here, of course, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show us the extent and the depth of his devotee's devotion. The devotee's of Braja. This is a specific reason for the Lord's incarnation, to taste that and also to reveal the extent of love that they have, which is, I mean, it's incomprehensible for us. Women, by nature, we see they're jealous. So here, Radharani says that even I'm jealous, I'm not, she's my competitor, I should be jealous. But because somehow or another Krishna's attractive, I will forget all of my jealousy and bring her by the hand to Krishna. This is kind of unimaginable for people in the material world. The extent of that complete surrender, unselfishness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show this. Had he not come, we would not have understood all this. Practically nothing really about the intimacy of Braja would have been understood if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not come and reveal. Param Vijayati Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Shri Harinam Prabhu Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gopremanandi. Thank you. Tanagamma Prabhu.
You gave a statement, Ramananda Roy, about at the end of his life, and I didn't catch the very last thing you said. At the end of Ramananda Roy's life, he was what?
No, at the end of Mahaprabhu's life, at the end, then even Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodar, they couldn't really relate to him. He was so absorbed in his own mood that they were always helping him. They would chant songs to enhance his mood. But at the final stage, it was so intense, he couldn't even recognize such close persons. He was simply absorbed in his own. So, that's Ramananda Roy and Sri Krishna. So, what to speak of us trying to approach Radha and Krishna? That's Lalita and Vishakha, or Sri Damodar and Rama, the most intimate associates of Radha and Krishna. So, what to speak of us?
Another comment you made about surrendering to Krishna, devotees do this and then it's in our best interest. I was just thinking that the idea of win-win, you know, it appears that we're losing something, but actually we're winning. It's very nice.
Hare Krishna. Little Harinam story. I recently had to go several times to Calcutta, and in the old days I went more in the taxi with my husband, but alone I thought I have to go with the train, and then I was a kind of late.
Can you hold it? There's a little echo there.
I was kind of late. I had no time to get a ticket, so then I thought, maybe I go just in the ladies' compartment, then maybe nobody comes there checking. Anyway, so I went first time in my life in this lady compartment. And then it was about 100 ladies. And immediately I remembered Lord Chaitanya's instruction to give to everybody the holy name or preach. But then I was shy. I thought, no, I can't do it. But then something happened, and this is actually what always happens. The ladies started to fight, quarrel like anything. I never heard such a fight in my life. I mean, the Bengali ladies are really good in this. So, it was my inspiration. I took my car down so loud I could. I Goranga! 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 And then I just chanted the holy name, and many followed, and they stopped quarreling. And I continued for 1 hour, and after I did this several times. And an amazing experience for me was I mean, I really don't like to go to Calcutta and with the taxi, I was always so exhausted at the end of the day. But this day, I came 8 o'clock home, I was full of power, I was running in a house where Harinam Kirtan was going on. And I believe this is exactly giving the holy name to others. We get ourselves so much energy and anyway, Hari Bol.
You transform the carriage, which was turned into a cattle truck, you transformed it into Vaikuntha, right? That's the power of the holy name, we're just hearing it. It will transform everything. Your spiritual necessities will be produced by the holy name. Good experience.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. There is one devotee in China. Her name is Sadhana Devidasi. And she asked of her local yatra caretaker to call me to ask you. She's going to leave her body very soon. She had a cancer operation last year. And this year, already for over a month, she cannot eat anything, also cannot drink water. She's feeling time is going to pass very soon. So she wants to know, according to Vaishnava culture, what she should do to prepare for her death. And after she's dead, what the devotees around her or her family members should do. She wants to follow standard of Vaishnavas. Thank you.
She's conscious?
Conscious.
She should be remembering Krishna at the time of leaving her body. And the devotees should be all chanting Hare Krishna. Better at the final stage that there's not so much talking, but just the holy name is going on. And then whatever the system they have there for disposing the body, you've got some torsi leaves and some Chanamrita, some holy effects, some prasadam from deities, some cloth or something. And then after 3 days, you should have a condolence meeting and glorify the Mataji's service and then serve prasadam for everyone. And at the end of the line, you make one plate for the Mataji. The idea is she's serving. She's doing the Vaishnava seva. And then after that she will take the prasad at the end. And then Prabhupada said, you don't take that plate, you put it outside somewhere.
And she's feeling regret and fear. She's a devotee of 7 years. Now she's in her early 60s. She regretted because sometime her faith is not so strong, so she's not strictly following the standards of devotional service. And now she's feeling regret and she feared because of that short period of slackening of practicing. What would be her destination?
No, that's not a consideration. That now is the important time, that she's sincere now, then Krishna, it's superficial. Now is the important time. The purpose of that, of all the rules and regulations, is for being aware at this time when you're going to leave your body. That was the purpose of all the rules and regulations. So if she's doing that, then, or another example, Prabhupada would often say, you're all pure devotees in Islam. And Bhavananda Prabhu said, how you can say that, Srila Prabhupada? He said, because we never did any pious activities. We only did sinful activities practically all our life. And then Prabhupada said, but no, when you come to Krishna consciousness, when you heard about Krishna consciousness, he said, immediately you stop. He said, so all of that before, it's all superficial. It has no meaning. It was all superficial because when you heard about Krishna, and then you stopped talking. So it all becomes superficial. So that's not important. She shouldn't worry about the past. It's gone. Now is the time. And Krishna is saying, think of me, become my devotee. Offer worship. One of these things. So she can remember Krishna. Krishna doesn't say, you can remember me, but it means that, you know, 1 year ago you. So he's not going to consider that. Now you're surrendering to Krishna. Now you're remembering Krishna. That's the important thing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama.